Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Caplin Point Laboratories Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shrikant Akolkar from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets Securities, I would like to welcome you all for 4Q FY22 earnings conference call of Caplin Point Laboratories Limited. From the management, we have with us Mr. C.P. Paarthiban, the Chairman, Mr. Vivek Partheeban, Chief Operating Officer, Dr. Sridhar Ganesan, Managing Director, Mr. D. Muralidharan, CFO, and Mr. M. Satyanarayanan, Deputy CFO. I now hand over the call to Mr. Vivek for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Vivek.
Thanks, Shrikant. Hello, good evening, everyone. I am pleased to welcome you all to our earnings call to discuss our Q4 and FY22 results. Please note that a copy of our disclosures are available on the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Also do note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. With that, I hand over the floor to our Chairman, Mr. C.P. Paarthiban, for his opening remarks.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome you all to the investors call. At the outset, you are aware that our company has been growing at a healthy clip. Cash and cash equivalents stands at 694 crore with a healthy gross margins, EBITDA and PAT. Our CAGR has been at 26% in the last 25 years. Sorry, last five years. Now, let me highlight the status of our projects. First, Caplin Steriles Limited, where we have phase one. We now have two lines of injectable and one ophthalmic line. The fourth line, which is our bag line, to be commissioned in the next month. In the sense, it's going to be operational in the next month. We also have phase two, where the civil work actually started, and we are likely to complete our PFS commissioning by July 2023. The sixth and seventh line in the form of lyo and liquid injectables will be completed by September or October of 2023. Coming to our oncology facility, the machineries from Germany for our OSD has already arrived. The civil work is about to be completed in a month or two, and the project will be ready in six months' time from now. Onco injectable will be commissioned in October or November of 2023. We also have plans to get into OSD, and this construction will start in the near future in the 18 acres land that we have purchased in the industrial estate, which is next to our Caplin Steriles Limited. Further, we are all set to buy an API facility in Vizag, and we are planning to go for two kilo labs, one for general injectables for the U.S. market and the other one for the onco products for the U.S. market too. Further, our focus is all on the registrations in the bigger geographies such as U.S., Mexico, Brazil and South America. The status of our U.S. business will be briefed by our COO. We now have plans to enter to the European markets, and the market study is completed by one of our executives for the relevant products, and the executive will join also shortly to start the registrations in Europe. Another major development is the Russian market. As you are aware, 63% of the Western product is out of the market now. Keeping that in mind, we have appointed two executives who have been working in this part of the world, in CIS market, and both of them are leaving on the 17th of May, and we will be in a position to understand what set of opportunities are available in Russia. arms race dynamics helps arms manufacturer, but again it also helps for companies which could find an opportunity in adversity. And Kaplan also found opportunities in war zones. Hopefully, we may find some opportunity in the Russian market too. Our current key priorities are maintain the cash flow to complete the projects without any debt. Number two, manage the OPEX for the next 3 years for the new entities, especially the three entities which I have told you, without any debt, which means the internal accruals will ensure a smooth sailing. Number three is the implementation of SAP, which we just started recently. COVID war and the war in CIS devastated the life and business in many parts of the world. The path forward to our company may or may not be the roadless travel, which we will decide when we reach the markets after registrations. But one major thing that's happening in the business world today is that the larger companies chasing and creating monopoly or near monopoly status in technology and markets. In this context, a mid-sized company like ours should always chase value monopolies and create the differentiation. The key differentiators which we feel are A, sustainable cash flow to handle the capex and opex without any debt, as I reiterated before. B, projects and operations to be handled effectively by attracting right talent. C, completion of registration in bigger geographies for increase in our exports like any other big player in the market. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I will be giving a little bit on capital services business specifically that is to do with the U.S. So despite all the macroeconomic challenges that the whole world has faced, especially such as COVID and the issue in Ukraine and also some of the lockdowns in China, etc., we grew revenue by 44%. And in addition to all of these, we also had line one shut down for almost 4 months last year and line two not being operational because it was not qualified for close to 8 months. So despite all of that, we have almost grown by close to 44-45%. I think that is a fairly commendable number. And if we took away the money that we are spending on filing products, I think we would be very close to breaking even right now. But because of the fact that we expense out our R&D figures and also expense out our product filing figures, we still have some way to go for breaking, which we feel could happen this year, this financial year. Going forward, we have two fully functional commercialized vial lines. We also have an ophthalmic line that we are using specifically for exhibit patches. We also have a premix bag line, like Chairman said, which will be operational from next month onwards, and that will be ready for taking exhibit batches. Basically, an exhibit batch is what you do as the final step before we need to file a product in about 6 to 7 months' time. In terms of number of ANDAs, we have filed 21, of which 18 are approved, and out of that 18, 13 are in Kaplan's name. And 15 products are commercial right now for us in the U.S., with the next two to be commercialized within July, and the last one by the quarter after that. We're also expecting the other three approvals to come through within the next 2 to 3 quarters. Right now, we are on track to file 9 products before the end of this calendar year, and our overall target for this financial year is 12 products. Out of these 12 ANDAs, it comprises of 2 products that would come under the complex category, 5 ophthalmics, and 2 or 3 bag products. Now, we have a split of around 70-75% of our revenues coming in from product sales, and the next 25-30% from milestones and profit share. Going forward, we see this number to remain somewhat similar on a higher base, obviously. And when it comes to front-end plans, we've had conversations with a company that we've been discussing with on a basically, we have a choice between a buy or build, and we are sort of leaning towards this opportunity that has presented itself, where there is a company in the U.S. that is specifically into distribution of injectable products, and it's small enough that we could potentially take a majority in the company. So those discussions are ongoing, and we expect some sort of resolution on that in the next 2 quarters. Phase two, as chairman said, we are expecting that to be completed and operational by September of next year, by which time our capacities will be 3 times what it is today. Post the expansion, we feel that our capacities are going to be similar to some of the larger Indian MNCs. In fact, I would say that apart from the larger Indian MNCs, no one else would have similar types of capacities once our expansion is completed by next year. So obviously, our current hybrid model of filing our own products and also attracting contract manufacturing will continue to remain. And we will also be targeting ex-US markets like we are already doing right now. Today, the reliance is obviously more than 90-95% on US markets, but we expect that to scale down slightly in the coming years with our additional capacity being put to use. As we speak, we are sitting on orders worth of 160 crore that we've received from our partners that has been forecasted to be completed before end of this financial year. If we consider similar kind of absolute numbers in terms of profit share and milestone revenues coming in, we have a fairly decent target for this financial year. And if we execute well, I think we will achieve break even from this site, which is a good milestone for us to target. Finally, I would also say that when it comes to audit readiness and automation, in the last 2 to 3 years, we have focused quite a lot of our energy and resources into automating multiple processes and systems at the plant. I would say that when it comes to quality areas and documentation areas, we are at a very high level of automation today. And in the next 18 months, our target is to go as close as possible to being a paperless facility, because we feel that when it comes to machines, there's obviously a lot more of transparency and trust factor for anyone walking in compared to everything being on manual systems. With that, I would like to hand over the floor to our CFO for a quick update on the numbers for the last year.
Thank you, Shubhin. Good afternoon. Welcome you all for this investor's call. I will take a couple of minutes to highlight the financial results for the current year. Actually, a couple of years back, when we assembled in the same hall, we had apprehension about the subsidiaries being coming into the market partners coming into our fold. The forethought of our chairman bringing them into our fold as subsidiaries and keeping inventory closer to the customer and then quick sales turnaround has helped us in this challenging time. When the other competitors did not have inventory, we had inventory closer to the customer. And if you see, the results are already shown. It has been a very gratifying year in the challenging times when the ocean freights have gone up 3 to 4 times, availability of vessels for difficulty, and then the transit time elongating by more than 50%. So the strategy to keep the inventory closer to the customer has helped us achieving all the parameters. If you see, the sales growth, contribution margin has been brought back to the original level. Even though the expenses have gone up, they are contained as a percentage of the total income, and that is reflected in the PAT margin, which is 23.6% for the current year. And all the parameters we have gone, as our chairman has rightly put it, the CAGR, we are one of the CAGRs which is enviable in the market. So the cash flow from operations a couple of years back was only 44 crores. Today it is close to 360 crores. And the cash and cash equivalent to 694 crores. What we said in this is after investment of about 91 crores in the CAPEX, which are the projects, the ongoing projects in CSL phase 2 and capping onco, advances to vendors and the certain equipment, as the chairman has pointed out, already reached the destination. So the things have fallen in place, and we are in good wicket in terms of taking further optimization in terms of cost. And as Chairman was saying, SAP will be a good tool for us to have a holistic view of the entire business across the various subsidiaries, and we'll be having a better control on the expenses as well and on the product realizations. And if there are any questions, we'd be too glad to answer them. Back to Mr. Jay.
Thank you, sir. I think we can open the floor to questions now, please.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anika Mittal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My first question is, during last quarter, our inorganic opportunities were to be finalized by March. Now it is June. So what's the reason deriving such delay? Hello.
Yeah. Can I ask our CFO to reply to your question? You asked actually.
Yeah, I think I will just clarify. The line was not very clear. The question was last quarter we had given a recommendation that the inorganic opportunity, which is the API site at Vizag, will be completed by March, and now it has been pushed over to June. Any reason why? Chairman, would you please say?
Yeah. See, last year we were talking of the API facility. It's totally a different one. We are about to buy a facility which is from Chennai. And in the last minute, there were some developments. One of the products of that particular formulation of that particular, of this particular company got registered, and they found that is going to be a very important for them, product for them. In the process, in the last minute, they backed out. The API facility that I am talking to you is a recent development. Due diligence for a technical, financial, and legal have been completed. We are all set to buy this one, actually, hopefully in the next month. So these are two different facilities. What we mentioned in last year is different from the one which we are planning to acquire now. Am I clear on that?
Okay. Right. And so my next question is, what is our growth guidance for next 2 to 3 years?
Okay. Growth in the sense of percentage of growth?
In the sense, operational aspect as well as financial aspect, okay.
Yeah, you see, the growth, as I told you in course of my actually discussion, the priority is to give thrust more on the cash flow, which we are 100% sure actually we will focus on the cash flow. We'll continue to maintain the PAT and cash flow the way in which it has been happening for the last 5-6 years or more. Now, coming to growth, we are sure of actually having growth of 15-20%. It can even exceed, which I am not in a position to tell you now because of 2-3 reasons. A, COVID. So during COVID, we were not in a position to travel, which are aware. B, internationally, there are issues in the form of war in Ukraine. This actually where it will affect, how it will affect, and whom it will affect, we don't know. The third issue, the lockdowns are happening in China. So these are the issues which is more of a threat. As you know, well, threat cannot be predicted. So we can't be in a, we will not be in a position to tell you something which may not be practical, and then, you know, it's better to rather under-promise and overachieve. That's why I say it will be in the region of 15-20%, please.
Okay, right. And sir, my next question is from strategic point of view. Our plan is to enter into Russia. So is there any change in our strategy after this Russia-Ukraine war?
Okay. See, any war has got its own actually, you know, opportunities which is in disguise in the, the adversity is disguised in the, you know, either way, opportunity disguised or adversity disguised like that. See, there were opportunities which were seen many a times in war zone countries, and we converted it as an opportunity. The challenges we converted as an opportunity. And life is more about the pattern of fact, things which happen in your life and business. The patterns that happened in our life, mostly we made our money in the toughest part of the world, be it in the form of the toughest part of Africa or actually the toughest part of Central America. 5-6 smaller countries put together, our 90% of the business comes today. So Russia is an area, as you know well, now there are a lot of issues in the form of not much of a medicines available, because the market, if you look at it, 63% of Russian market was in fact controlled by the Western companies. They are not in that country now. Hence, there is an opportunity for some of the important injectables. We ourselves have identified some 3 injectables which not many companies manufacture in India too, except some 1 or 2 big players. So this has been told to our people whom we have appointed, and they said there will be a very good opportunity for this type of product. So we are very sure that, you know, we'll be in a position to find some opportunity as long as there is ways and means to repatriate our money from the country.
Okay, right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congrats for a good set of numbers. Vivek, if you could you give us some more details regarding the US in terms of the EBITDA and the PAT for the current year?
Yeah, on the gross, sorry.
Yeah, you go ahead.
From the US side, on the gross margin levels, we are very similar to the overall company's numbers, to the parent company's numbers. As discussed during my my speech, we are not capitalizing any of our R&D expenditure or the product filing expenditure, which is why our bottom line will get bruised for some more time till our revenue goes up. But when you're looking at gross margins, yes, it is similar to our parent company's numbers.
Sure. And secondly, you have mentioned that you have entered few more markets in the developed market this year. So they are all addressed through Captive Steroids, or they are being addressed through the parent company?
So any market that we are talking about where mostly it is into injectables, I think we will be doing this through steroids, even though we do have an injectable section in our Pondicherry plant, which belongs to Caplan Point. But I think most of these newer markets where we are targeting through for injectables or ophthalmics, we might be doing this through Caplan steroids.
Sure. And what type of targets? So this year, I think we're growing at 44%. What type of targets are we looking for FY23 and 24 for Caplan steroids based on the current visibility that we have?
Yeah. On the
targets, you go ahead.
Yeah. On the targets, as I discussed, I think we can expect good numbers this year. The most important thing is there's no dearth of orders or anything like that. In fact, we are, like I said, we are sitting on orders worth 160 plus crore as we speak. So now that we have both the vial lines up and running, we need to make sure that we execute properly. But if all goes well, we will go very close to achieving break-even, or we will go past break-even, which is around 180 to 190 crore.
And when you say break-even, you mean EBITDA or net break-even?
So at that level, we will go for net break-even. We will be net breaking even at that level.
Sure. And how are we funding this CapEx that is ongoing in the Caplan Steroids? Is it from the loan from the parent company?
That's correct. Yes, we have taken a loan. In fact, it is already in progress. We've taken a loan. We have, you know, been given a loan of 220 crore over the next 1.5 years, which will it will be consumed.
And just last question: you have mentioned that the capacity will become 3x post the current expansion. So, by when do you expect this enhanced capacity to be fully utilized? And at that point of time, what type of revenue can we expect Caplan Steroids to deliver?
Yeah, when it comes to capacity utilization, we are at a stage where it's slightly more difficult to judge, because we are doing a balance between exhibit batches and also commercial. But once the new lines come in, I think we will be very, very comfortable, at least for the next 3 to 4 years. We don't foresee us requiring any further capex till 26 and beyond. The public statement that we have made, we continue to stick to that, which is by 2026, we expect this to be a $100 million business. That continues to remain.
Yeah. I would like to add a little more here. Once we have 7 lines, it will be in the form of 5 buckets, 3 in the solution injectable area, 1 ophthalmic, 1 bag line, 1 lyophilized, and 1 PFS. And in addition to our own commercials and exhibit batches, this will open up opportunities for contract manufacturing for multinational and other big companies also. As you know well, that there are not many companies, especially, you know, big company, even big companies, they are not into injectables in a big way, although they are big in all other areas. So there are hardly 2-3 facilities with 6 and 7 segments of injectables. So we are very sure that we will be in a position to actually balance the economy of scale once we complete all this actually in the next year.
Sure. And so this last question of this 430 to 450 crores of CapEx, how much has been incurred till date and how much you plan to spend in the current financial year and next financial year?
I would request the CFO to actually give you this answer.
As I mentioned during my listing, about 91 crores of CapEx, so 40 crores in CSL and that is Kalesh, and 35 crores of CapEx have been incurred in Hanko, very small amount in the parent company. So out of 400 crores, what we talked about, 75 to 80 crores have already been committed in terms of cash. The remaining will get consumed over the next 12 to 18 months' time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is on the line of Hardik Shah from Taurus Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on a great set of numbers. My first question is to Vivek, sir. Sir, please correct if my understanding is wrong, that today, sir, our US business is negative, but maybe after maybe next 2-3 years, as soon as the US business will start gaining a little bit of size, can we expect our overall margin to move, EBITDA margin to move in excess of 35%? Because I believe that just if I separate out the US numbers from the total numbers, our LATAM EBITDA margins will be in excess of 36%.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right in that our overall consolidated numbers does get dragged down a little bit because of the losses at Caplin Steriles. So once break even is achieved over there, automatically you will start to see that move up. The absolute numbers, of course, we don't have any prediction on that right now, but obviously you will start to see parent company's numbers go up once the cash flow break even and overall net break even is achieved in Caplin Steriles. Yes.
What I want a little bit more clarity on is that can we expect continuous small sequential improvements in EBITDA margin going forward in the next, say, 10-12 quarters?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay. Are you asking for the EBITDA margins? As I told
yes, sir.
You, we will be in a position to tell you in a holistic way. Every quarter is difficult to predict at this juncture, as I told you before. We haven't started our actually, you know, journey to the markets. Once we go to the markets, we'll be in a position to actually tell you what will happen in the next quarter and the following quarter. We will do well. That's what we would like to say. As I told you before, 15 to 20% is a very conservative estimate. And anything that happens actually, see, once again, I would like to reiterate, let me under-promise. If it happens, it will overachieve.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, my second question is, to the chairman, sir.
Yes, please.
Sir, we have outperformed on all parameters except for one thing, sir, which is the dividend payment, sir. So, sir, would like to understand a bit more in detail, sir, how do you intend to create value for investors? And a small follow-up for the CFO, sir. That, sir, as on today, we have around 690 crores of cash. So I think 45%, slightly higher than 45% of our net worth is cash. So, sir, this high amount of cash, is it not a big drag on our ROE, sir? Your thoughts on the same would be helpful.
Yeah, I would like to answer to your question. First, see, the project, all 3-4 projects put together, the total amount actually, which is available now, what will happen in the current year? Because so far we have invested only 90 crore as has been told by the CFO. Current year, most of the machineries from Germany and Italy would come. And the next year also, we'll be getting most of the things, you know. But, which means around 300 to 400 crore actually will be deploying in the projects. And then it's better to actually keep some money it's always better because, you know, we will not be able to understand what will happen actually and when because of the war and other issues. So we would like to actually keep some money for the for any eventuality. On the contrary, if we see, definitely we are doing, as we have already announced 100% now, 100%, 2 rupees actually per share. Don't you feel that is reasonably good actually? But let us not connect this with the cash which is available and the kitty, because one is, as I told you also in person when we met, the most important one actually is the growth in terms of actually medium to long term. That can give you enormous actually return on investment, then one or two actually dividends. This is how I look at it, please. Anyway, I would ask my CFO also to answer your question.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Actually, you are right that the ROC in the current is taking a smaller beating, if you may use the word. But as one of my colleagues was mentioning the other day, in terms of war, we should have a war chest to fight the war. That's what he was mentioning. So keeping extra cash in kitty for any other office, not only the project what the chairman outlined or Vivek outlined are all on hand, but we are not keeping our eyes and ears closed. We are looking for opportunities either organically or inorganically. As they come along, we will evaluate them and then take necessary steps. Be it that may be, but the ROC what is reported is on par with many of the peers. It's not better. So the perseverance would definitely pay, and the next 2-3 years numbers would definitely look better.
And once again, I would like to add one more thing. The priority, I think, you know, you would agree with me, is growth. Growth comes only when we put your money into projects, not into dividends. Am I right, actually, my friend? Because I told you this already, you know, when we met up in our factory.
Yes, sir. You are absolutely right. But, sir, I just want one more bookkeeping number, if you don't mind. Sir, at the best, we'll be spending 500-600 crores of cash over the next 2 years. Is that correct, sir?
Sorry, please come again.
Sir, at the best, we'll be spending around 600 crores of cash in the next 2 years. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, but as I mentioned in the course of my speech, I will tell you also this way. One project, the second phase, as has been told by actually the COO, 220 crores, of which 90 crore actually is spent. 220 crores, and the ONCO facility also will cost us another 120 crore. And the API which we will acquire, the cost of acquiring actually is not high, but 2 kilo labs, which is for US FDA injectables, general injectable, other one for actually the ONCO injectable for again US FDA. That means it's another 100 crore. Then there is a slight expansion for soft gel capsules. That would cost another 15 to 20 crores. Then OSD. OSD also would cost around 60 to 70 crores. What we will do, we won't do it in such a way that, you know, it could create issues. We will balance between consolidation and expansion. That's the reason I said 2 years. In 2 years' time, all these which I told you actually will be invested. And we also need to have some cash to take care of the operations. The reason being, in a ROW market, the registration happens faster. In markets such as US or other regulated markets, registration takes a long time. That too, during this period, there are so many variables which we are not in a position to control. And for example, if one machine actually is ready and for want of one particular part, the machinery may be also delayed. The same way, some of the raw materials which we have come to know now, of course, since we have actually like 300 to 400 products for the ROW market that don't pose any major issues. But some of the raw materials, for want of intermediates or key starting materials, they have not been in a position to supply. See, these are the things only as an entrepreneur we understand. That's the reason we would request you to actually look for the long term rather than actually expecting the dividend to go on a higher level, please.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Hardik.
And best of luck for the future, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Hardik, for the understanding. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kacholia from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on the good set of numbers.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Sir, my question is basically pertaining to our future expansion plans in Mexico and Brazil. What I understand is that these are markets which are tender-driven and hence may not be very, very good for our margin profile. So anything you would like to share on what will be our business model? Will we be investing in a branded formulations kind of a business in these markets, or we will be also participating in the tender market?
Coming to Mexico, most of the markets, yes. Of course, branding business we are doing in West Africa. We would like to start in the smaller geographies of Central America, which is easier for us to actually control because one, for example, suppose if you go for ophthalmic products, there will be very few ophthalmologists. If I go for oncologists, there will be very few oncologists. If I go CNS products, that will be very few CNS. If I go for a hospital business for injectables, there will be very few private hospitals. So to start with, once the borders are open, one or two countries are open, still there are issues, you know, that we'll have to travel for us to travel to this part of the world. So we will do brand marketing in the smaller geographies where we are already there in Central America. Coming to Mexico, it's a mix of government and private market. We have to actually, as you rightly said, the government takes 140 to 150 days. The credit periods are very elongated. So we are working various methodology. Rather than if the products are very lucrative, if the profitability is good, then we'll go through some distributors who will fund us and we'll get our cash faster. Or if we have to do it actually like on our own, then we'll look at actually the amount of profits which we'll be able to generate. Then the second most important one is the private market. The private market in Mexico is something totally different when compared to other countries because this is the only country where you will see the doctors sitting inside the pharmacy. So which means any generic that you market is like a brand actually to the patient because it's being prescribed by the doctor who sits in the pharmacy. So the private market is going to be the lucrative one. But only issue, these are the countries where, you know, it takes now 12 products we have already filed, 12 doses. I think only one product we got it. Hopefully in the 8 to 9 months, we'll get actually another 11 products. We'll also file another 20, 30 products parallelly. We also have certain methodologies where, you know, once we buy our API plant, we will give APIs to some other factories where they are not in a position to get at a good price and enter into an agreement with him and try and market his products in Mexico. All these things will happen only when we go there and study the market, especially the private market, and position ourselves in a space where the opportunity is very high and is more of a differentiated one. So getting into this type of uncontested place is possible only when we go to the market and understand actually the vagaries of the whole thing. Coming to Brazil, Brazil takes a minimum of 2 years for registration. We have just started that process. So it will take another 2 years to complete, maybe, you know, 2 years, sometimes two and a half years also to complete the registration. Brazil private market is very difficult because the geography is very huge. The land is very huge. If we try and do the private market, distribution will be a biggest challenge in Brazil. So we have to focus more on the tender business. But advantage in Brazil, if you can get into injectables and onco products, the competition is few and far between compared to any other country. One. Number two, you don't see any smaller companies or mid-sized companies like ours also in Brazil, which means we are definitely positioned in a better way once we complete our registration in Brazil. Is there anything else to answer, please?
Yeah, so just to reconfirm, we will not be investing in a formulation business in either Mexico or Brazil. That's my correct understanding, sir.
Formulation factory, you mean, sir?
Formulation means prescription business where you will be having your representatives.
Yeah, prescription business, yeah. Prescription business in the bigger geographies, we will not be, as you rightly said, we will not be getting into prescription business. That's because in any country for that matter, we need deeper pockets. And when we can find some niche, if we can create a differentiation compared to other Indians and Chinese who are present there, our business model will become a brand. That's what has happened in Central America. As you are aware, today we are doing well, not because of the size of the brand marketing, but because of the business model differentiation. So that's the reason again and again I'm telling you how to make a trip, which will happen anytime actually in the next 6 months or after the registration or before the registration. That's the time we will decide how to position ourselves in this particular country. Mexico is going to be our future target, like US. Yes, please.
Are there any restrictions on the travel arrangements as of now? From what I understand, people are traveling to Mexico very comfortably as of now.
Yeah, there is no restriction to Mexico now. We are all set for actually an inspection, US FDA inspection. So the readiness for the US FDA inspection is happening in the company. I would rather prefer to be here and complete the inspection and then make a trip.
Absolutely, sir. All the very best, sir. And,
thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. So just wanted to understand, have we filed for any registrations in Russia?
No. Can I answer to your question, please?
Yes.
The issues that are happening in Russia is more of actually scarcity for many products. As I told you before, 63% of the market in Russia was dominated by the Western companies. And most of them have left. There are even factories which are not in a position to run due to lack of know-how and raw materials. This is what we are given to understand by our friends from Russia and other places and other neighboring CIS countries. So registration used to be very tough in the previous years. Like, you know, they used to take 2 years and sometimes 3 years. Even for injectables, they used to go for actually what you call VBA studies. Now things are getting changed, but the picture is not very clear. That's the reason our executives are leaving on the 17th and they will stay for 30 to 45 days and they'll give us the clear picture how long it would take for us to complete the registration. Or if there is a company which has already registered the product and if they are not in the position to actually manufacture for want of know-how or actually for want of a partnership, for want of API or something, then probably we will also fit into that space, provided we need to understand how we would be able to repatriate the money to India.
Understood. Also, what we were thinking earlier with respect to Mexico and Brazil, so we don't expect either of these geographies to start contributing meaningfully before 24 or 25 because we're still awaiting approvals, registrations in Brazil will take time, etc.
Yeah. The only thing which I didn't mention in course of actually, you know, my answer to the other gentleman, there are some emergency purchases. Even now, you know, like my son actually who takes care of the business in Central America has gone to Mexico. Yesterday he told me some few products which we already, you know, there is a tender called UNOPS. This UNOPS tender, they already awarded 2 products. And then another 6 products, they said, you know, if we are in a position to supply at that price, then they are ready to buy. So there will be opportunities which will not be, you know, sustainable the way in which we are doing in Central America or in West Africa. We may get it. During COVID also, we got some opportunities for Mexico and Brazil. This will continue for some more time. Earlier, it was COVID war. Now, war in CIS countries. Then Cold War, propaganda war. So many things are happening now, as you all know well. So we will have opportunities, but we will not be able to predict it when and how and what would be the volume. Definitely, it will happen. And we will know only when it happens what is the size of actually the business that will be in a position to do it.
Understood. And are we selling anything in Sri Lanka?
No. Lucky we are not into that country. Because if you look at our business, we are neither in English-speaking countries nor in countries which are closer to India.
Okay. So the next question I had was with respect to our R&D expenses. What will that be for FY23?
This I would request actually our CFO to answer, please. Our CEO. Yeah.
So in terms of absolute numbers, we feel that the R&D expense is going to be similar to the last 2 years. As we get into slightly more complex products, the number of products that we will be working on might reduce a little bit, although the complexity and the cost of these products might increase. Having said that, we are also getting into oncology right now, so that is quite fresh as we speak. So in absolute numbers, we feel that it's going to be similar to last year or probably going to be slightly higher than last year. The one thing is the R&D capex, we are pretty much done with any major capex, and most of it is going to be R&D product expenses from here on.
So in the range of 60-65 crores?
I request CFO to get the actual number. I don't know the actual number.
Please go ahead.
Current year we are at 50 crores. As Mr. Vivek put it, it will be hovering around that in terms of revenue expenditure. Capex expenditure, as you said, is almost done and it will be very marginal.
Understood.
There was a small mistake in my answer when I told you about the Sri Lanka. You are not into the English-speaking countries except US. You should have made it that way. I'm sorry.
Understood. Just one last question. You know, while over the last 1 year we have highlighted our aspiration, revenue aspiration over the next 5 years, any aspirational ROE target that we want to reach?
Request CFO to respond, because ROE side, we don't really look at it from an ROE angle.
Madam, just answer your question and my opening remark also. A couple of years back when we assembled in this room for the questions, cash flow from operation was the boiling issue. We had 44 crores, which is one of the worst ever we reported, and the gross margin for the issues and the OPEX for the issues. We tided them over the last couple of years. As I said, through the strategy of our chairman, that we brought all the channel partners into our fold as subsidiaries that is paying good dividends in the current year and then probably in the years to come. And as we are in the process of expanding and then investing heavily on CAPEX, and the, as he has said, there are certain uncertainties in timelines of completion of the project, getting them the product registration, getting them commercial, and then becoming break-even, and then this is a far-fetched thing. So currently, our the fiscal turnover is 4.5-4.8, which is pretty good. And the ROE and the ROCE will definitely improve. We have come back to normal line. As I said, we are compared with ourselves with our peers, and we are either on the same level or better off than many of them, which are comparable with our line of activity in turnover. So a couple of years from now, definitely it will go up, and we will see better. The dust has settled down in terms of gross margin, OPEX, and the CFO. This will definitely settle down in respect of ROE and ROC in a couple of years from now.
Understood. Thank you. Just clarification, we're expecting US FDA inspection soon?
This is one thing very difficult to say, because, you know, they may come anytime and they may or may not come also. It depends upon their choice. But at the same time, you know, the facilities, US, the readiness of actually the inspection is the most important thing. We always actually maintain the integrity and the rest of the things in the form of transparency, quality, and all other measures, you know, we have to keep it intact. If there is anything to be added, the CEO also will add to it.
Yeah, so at this point, obviously, there is a long backlog for the FDA. So while there is no written guideline on which facilities they are going to be prioritizing, from what we understand, the last few inspections have all happened at facilities where there were some sort of a warning letter or any other OAI kind of a status. But as Chairman said, we need to be anytime ready. And as a sterile plant, we haven't had an inspection in the last couple of years. So we might get one. Or another school of thought is we've had a very clean record over the last few years. So we might be deprioritized also. So we don't know right now. We're just ready for any inspection that happens.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Patil from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity.
Sir, I have one or two questions. Most of them have been answered. Sir, one was with perspective to the gross margins. If we see over the past two quarters, that's Q3 and Q4, it's been like 55-56% of a level that we've been clocking around. So you see this as a base going ahead for, let's say, 23-24. And, you know, if you could just elaborate a bit on that, how should we look at gross margins?
Yeah, as another gentleman had also asked, our margins are at a very acceptable level for us internally. And overall, the bottom line figures is going to go up once the U.S. facility starts to achieve net break even. But in a worst case as well, we don't foresee these numbers dragging down from here. We expect these numbers to stay stable or go up from here.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. And, sir, just one more clarification on this thing. Sir, probably two quarters back or so, we had alluded to some growth guidance ahead, and you did spell it out sometime back also. For US, we are eyeing about $100 million of a top line, let's say, over the next, like, 4-5 years. So, and for the LATAM revenues, also, we are expecting it to be doubling over the same period. So, sir, should we still stick by that?
Yeah, the LATAM revenue will definitely go up considering the size of the market. For example, out of the six countries that we are currently operating in Central America, Guatemala is the biggest populated country. Because that's where, you know, 16 million population, whereas Mexico is 10 times of Guatemala. And it's 1 hour from Guatemala. Most of the product that was sold in Mexico is something similar to what is sold actually in Central America. With the difference, Mexico is a regulated market. So I'm sure, you know, over a period of time, the business will go up in Latin America many folds.
Okay, got that. Thank you, sir. So that was a good thing. So all the best for the future, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Balance sheet question, sir. Just wanted to understand in terms of your working capital cycle. If I see post peaking out 2 years back, it is gradually, you know, improving from last 2 years. So what is your comment on this from here on? And do you see there is still scope for improvement? And how should we look at in next 2 to 3 years your working capital cycle?
I would request the CFO to answer your question, please.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. As you said, two things have paid great dividends for us. Having inventory closer to the market. So the inventory level of 227 crores, 250 crores, what we are having today, it will be on the same levels to continue. And as we mentioned in the past also, the transit time is elongated as compared to the last couple of years. What used to take 60 days, 45 to 60 days, is taking anywhere between 75 and 90 days today. So it is the inventory, definitely though the quantum is going up, in terms of number of months, it will not go up very alarmingly. And also, closer to the market, if we have goods, we are able to cash on the opportunities that come by. That is one thing. And the receivables also is closer to 90 days. Our focus is on cash flow. Cash flow will not happen unless we collect the receivables from the customers. We have brought it down to around 92, 93 days, and then it will definitely hover around the same number of days. The quantum may go up here and there, but we will try to maintain the number of days around that level. And as I said, the transit time has also contributed to this. One of the reasons, by the time the goods reach the customer, it's almost 90 days. And difficult to contain the receivables below 90 days. So it'll the trade payables also helped us. Actually, what trade payables we have is about one quarter consumption. So that has also helped us contain the working capital cycles. And this, in our opinion, barring any major change in the product mix or the market dynamics, yes, this will continue for more time.
Sure, I would like to add one more. as we increase our business in U.S., then of course the dynamics will change. U.S., there is nothing in the form of huge cleavage. What is important actually is to complete the registration, and we need to have the capacity to export the products. And then, you know, if you have the capacity, the way in which we said, you know, once we complete the 7 lines, that will also open up CMO opportunities, contract manufacturing opportunities. When we go for contract manufacturing, there is nothing in the form of that we have to give credit to the people. On the contrary, they will pay money actually upfront also. Is it enough to satisfy your question,
yeah,
please?
Understood. Thanks for the answering, and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. You have mentioned about winning a tender of around $21 million. So can you tell which markets we have received this from, and what is the type of margins we can expect in this tender business?
Yeah. The tender business has come from two major markets. One is Ecuador and the other one is El Salvador. The silver line in this market is actually the currency, which is dollar. So any war or whatever happens actually will not affect the currency as you know well. And on the contrary, this will help us because you know what is the dollar to rupee conversion also. The one actually which has come in the form of 13 million, 13.5 something, is from Ecuador, and the rest has come actually from El Salvador.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
But the margins would be similar to the...
The margins are very good. The only difference, only thing which I didn't tell you is, here in Ecuador, this is for 2 years. El Salvador actually, this is for 1 year. The margins are very good. The margins are low. We don't participate in any tender because that will affect our bottom line, which we know. And the cash flow also, we are very... See, one thing which we always give importance is the cash flow. If the cash flow gets affected, you know, even if we have extraordinary plans, we will not be able to implement it. And overall margins and the cash flow is always good because otherwise we will not participate in any business, especially in Central America.
And you alluded to the fact that, you know, the new market that you're entering, like Mexico, Chile, Brazil, they are much, much larger than the existing markets. So when can we start seeing some good contribution from these markets, and over the next 3 years, what type of revenue contribution you are seeing from these new markets of Brazil, Mexico, Chile?
Yeah, we will do good business after 3 years. That is for sure. The amount, in fact, is very difficult for me to give you a figure. The reason is, as I told you before, the last 2.5-3 years almost, I have not been to this part of the world. 2019, I've been traveling in China. When we were about to do something, the COVID came. Then 2 years, we were out of actually, you know, traveling. And we will start traveling, you know, maybe in 4-5 months from now. After that, we'll be in a position to understand what would be the size of the market, where all we are going to position ourselves, where we'll be in a position to collect our money faster. See, business for the sake of business, of course, top-line business is easier to do. But what will happen, then the profit will be, as you know, will only be in the books, not in terms of cash. So we don't want to do that kind of business. At the same time, anything that we do, as I told in course of my speech, we want to complete not only the capex, but also the apex of future without any working capital or any other debt. So it's very difficult to project actually what will be the exact numbers 3 years from now.
Sure.
Because of
sure.
the various issues that you also know, well, 2 years of COVID, now the war started, and some of the prices, there are economies, countries going bankrupt, which you know very well, I don't have to say. So we have to be very, very careful in choosing our actually, you know, targeted markets and the kind of business that we want to do. All these things, you know, one has to go see. Nothing like seeing is believing. See, today I can go by the words of my own people, but I don't want to leave it to an area in the form of, no, it will lead to doing this easy, repairing is difficult. Yes, we have to depend on the professionals, and in spite of it, we will have to also take care of actually the ground reality at this juncture. The reason being, as I told you again and again, this variables which has happened in the form of threats and other things, it's not easily predictable. So we have to go and see the markets and take a decision.
Sure. Secondly, sir, this lockdowns in China, will it have any impact in terms of our sourcing?
Lockdowns, you know, what we do, we are not in, we have been exporting formulations from China to South America. This is like any other South American. It's not like an Indian who imports the API and converts the formulation and do it. We haven't faced any issues. So what will happen, maybe one or two issues in the form of more, because there are certain friction in the border and other things, getting visas or getting actually work permits in China may be difficult for Indians. Even for that, we have some ideas. We are planning to start something in the borders of China, some small entity, which will also generate revenue for the company. Of course, we will take a decision after visiting this country. And if our people, Indians, go there and take the work permit, they'll take visa based on their work permit in that country and move to China.
Sure. And lastly, sir, what type of revenue we can expect from this CapEx that you're doing, especially the capacity expansion and as well as the oncology CapEx that you're doing?
The revenue will be good. I would like to convey the message like this. Any company which is of our size, what is important, as you know very well, first is the cash flow. You have seen the cash flow. That's the reason one of our shareholders wanted actually to be given in the form of more dividend. So second, we are putting this money in the right projects. If you look at any big company, they'll have an injectable plant, they'll have an OSD plant, they'll have an onco plant. They are also into the bigger geography. That's what we are planning to do also now. So the only thing which we are not able to predict, the reason is all these big companies have gone to these countries much, much earlier. At that point, there was no COVID, there was no war also. Now, when these two things are happening, if you ask me also to predict something, that will be crystal gazing. So I'm sorry to say that we will not be in a position. We will do extremely well. After 3 years, we will do extremely well. That is for sure. As long as there is no huge wars and other kind of stuff which is going to affect the mobility of the people. Otherwise, we will do extremely well. The reason is, if a company of our size can have something which is unique, as you know well, the best company is the number one. Unique is the only one. If you keep that kind of, any company of our size may not have all the fundamentals which we will have in the next 3 years. At that point of time, our overheads will not be as big as a big company. That means a big company can choose and price a product definitely higher than us, which means we will have an edge, radical edge to price even in tenders. And when I quote a better price in tender, the only issue which I have to face like other companies is tenders, they don't pay on time. Then I'll have to go for a model. Some locals who are ready to fund the tenders, they will expect some 5 to 10%. Means if my profit is more, I'll pay that one and get my money faster. All these things are possible. Provided we'll have to make a trip, understand the ground realities in these countries.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Philauke from Ratnapriya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the patience. Thank you for taking my questions. Just two short questions, sir. One is on the sterile business. Could you just confirm?
Sorry, please come again. It's not audible, please.
One is on the sterile business. Could you confirm the EBITDA and the PBT number for the year that we have closed? Could you provide that to us? Is that possible?
Yeah, COO will answer to your question.
I'm not sure if we declared the breakdown. CFO, can you please confirm if this is available in public, please?
We'll be uploading the same in our website. Once the results are out, we will be doing it in our website. We'll be publishing the same in our website.
Right. Okay. No worries, we don't have that. The second question is a clarification question on Chairman Sir's comment. Sir, you mentioned that we'll be targeting between 15 to 20% growth, and you know, beyond, being more precise than that is difficult in the current situation. Could you just help us clarify, is that 15 to 20% on the overall level or for our, you know, standalone business other than sterile?
Overall. I meant this overall only.
Overall, okay. Including sterile, that is.
It is, see, today I am not in a position to give you an absolute statement. I am telling something which is a relative statement. It may go up, and that's all, there is a possibility, not that. But definitely, you know, the 15 to 20% actually is one which is definitely possible.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Pathiban for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your continued interest in our company, and also thanks to Srikanth and your company and also the moderator, EY. Thank you, everyone, for attending our earnings call. Thank you.
Thanks to all the investors and moderators. Thank you. Thank you very much, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.